Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
Welcome back to another episode of Strategy Sunday. We're doing it on Wednesday tonight, but it's still in concept, still in feeling. Strategy Sunday.
But we got a few things we're going to talk about today. We got a few concepts we're going to talk, because a lot of people, I'm getting scared. And I'll tell you why. I'm getting very, very scared about a lot of people, because what we're seeing in the market, right, is we see Dogecoin is up a lot. Now, you guys know how I feel about Dogecoin. We'll talk about that later. But Dogecoin's up. It's starting about, what, 3 months ago, it's up like 10, 15, 20 times in the last few months. Bitcoin's up. Ethereum's up, IOTA's up. I mean, we're all making money on all these stocks, and a lot of people are making a lot of money. And what scares me is that, you know, one of the biggest questions I get with people, one of the biggest questions that people send me, email me, you know, mentorship talk to me, is they say, you know, everybody, and the thing about it is a lot of these people on Instagram, a lot of these people talk about it, everybody knows what to buy. Buying is the easiest part. Buying an asset is the easiest part of the equation, right? Because, I mean, especially now, almost everything's going up. You can almost pick whatever. Now, it's hard to pick the ones that's going to go up more or go up better, or, you know, be the best, you know, out of five or six stocks of cryptos, what's going to be the best producer. But on the other hand, you know, people, you know, it's easy to buy stocks, because, you know, remember, average stock market goes up 9% or whatever, but people don't know when to sell. And that's normally when the problems come, right? The problems come selling. And that's what I'm going to start talking. We're going to talk about Dogecoin. We're going to talk about Amazon. We're going to talk about Neo. We're going to talk about Peloton in a few minutes. But I'm getting scared out there for some of you guys, because the market's going up, up and up. And a lot of it's people out there right now that are quitting their jobs. And think about this. I'm going to tell you how crazy this is. You can't do things like this, right? So my brother told me, look, he said, a guy came in the office today, threw his stuff down, walked out. And I said, hey, man, why are you quitting? Because, you know, my brother's an HR director or whatever. He said, why are you quitting? He said, why is this dude quitting? Dude said, Dogecoin's way up. I don't need this job no more. Walked right out, right? So my brother calls him up and tries to talk back, because he was a good worker at that point. He said, hey, man, we kind of need you, whatever. He said, well, I don't need that no more. I got all this money in Dogecoin, right? My brother said, well, when did you sell it? He said, I ain't sold it yet. So why would you quit your job and you haven't sold your, you haven't realized, it's a term for it. It's called realizing your gains. Because let's break that down. Realizing, the first three letters make up the word real, right? It's not real until you sell it. And that's what you got to understand. You can't make decisions. You can't get in your feelings and get all happy and stuff and think you're a genius and you haven't sold yet, right? You that's the problem, is that it's not real until you sell it. It's just paper money. It's imagined money, right? When you press the button, you sell it, it becomes real. And a lot of people out there are making decisions, doing things, changing their life based on what's called unrealized gains. You have to eventually sell these assets. Everything in life should have an exit plan, right? And for those of you who don't know, the badges are at the bottom. You know, that shows me that you guys value, you know, you guys value what we're doing. You've made money on me or whatever. I'd appreciate that, you know, getting a badge down there. But back to what we were saying is that these are unrealized gains, right? Anything in life, you cannot make decisions based on this. Like, that's a good point. It's monopoly money until you sell it, right? It's not even real, right? And that's what you people got to understand, is that you cannot make decisions based on that. Well, the second question people are going to have, well, you told me that. Now, when do I sell? Right? And that's what we got to go back. We talk about these in my classes. We talk about these in several classes that we talk about, right? And for those of you who have taken my Bitcoin class, crypto class, we talked about Ethereum. We talked about options class, the people we were in the stock class. We always talk about having an exit strategy, right? And what does that mean, right? And like we said, for those of you that are just joining, we're going to get to Dogecoin. We're going to get to Amazon and some more stocks, but I just want to make sure we get through this first, because this is serious, right? Is that when you go into anything, and this is why I love teaching people about the stock market. This is why I love teaching people about stocks and crypto and in business, because all of these ideas and concepts extend everywhere, right? And the things we teach in my classes, the things we teach on these Strategy Sundays are not just for stocks. These are life. This is life concepts, right? Everything has to have an exit strategy, right? So when we start with stock, people say, why do I come up with my exit strategy? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. It's easy. Is that when you bought a stock, asset, house, or whatever it may be, you got to have the exit strategy right then. If you start a business, if I start a business today, I should have an exit strategy of how this is going to end. If I buy a crypto today, I should realize, when am I going to get out? How much am I going to go for? What's the most loss I will take? What I'm going for? How am I going to get out of this? Right? Because the buying part is easy. Anybody that bought Bitcoin in the last 6 months is up, you know, but a lot of them ain't sold yet. You see what I'm saying? So the selling part, when crypto does retreat, which it will, remember, you got to remember, that's an 18-month cycle. It's happened twice, right? This, I've seen this before, right? This is not the first time that we've seen crypto explode like this to where it was. It did it twice before. Now, it hasn't got to this number before, but I'm talking percentage-wise, from where it started to where it ends, it's an 18-month cycle. We're a year in. Right. So it's about 6 months. I was telling my friend this morning that we're about 3, 4, 5, 6 months. I can't tell you when a strong, hard correction coming in the crypto market. Right. And that's where a lot of people are going to be messed up. All these people that made money in Dogecoin, all the people made in Bitcoin, Ethereum, IOTA, all of this stuff is they're going to hit it. And like we talked about before, is what happens whenever that happens in a stock or asset, what do people do? Really the unsavvy, the new beginners. And I'm telling you guys this because I know a lot of you guys are new. And big institutions are in now. It's not the same as before. They said that in every cycle. Every cycle before this, they said the same thing. Big players in, it's not going to happen. It's happened before. It's not, may not be as hard, but it's going to happen. Nothing goes up this fast and doesn't retreat. And I've been telling you guys this, it just doesn't work like that. Now, Bitcoin's going to continue to go up. I'm not saying it's going to stop, but there will be a hard retreat for a few years. It'll level out like it's done the last two times. And if it's 4 years from now, 5, 10 years from now, yeah, it's going to be way harder than it is today. I'm talking about the short term, the cycles, the fractals that happen inside the overall chart. And all you got to do, and like people always ask me, right? And then people say, it's different now. Well, it's not the same as before. Then how did I predict that the crypto was about to blow up? And for those of you who have watched me over the last year and a half, I almost told you exactly when it would happen. Now, how did I do that? If it's different than before, because I use prehistorical patterns, I watched how it worked, and I laid it out to you guys a year and a half ago. Now, how did I do that if it's different than it was before? If I can predict it's going to go up, I can also predict when it's going to come back down, right? Right? You see what I'm saying? Because all you got to do is look at historical patterns and you compare them to what's happening today and you can see what's going to happen. Now, that's not saying that Bitcoin is over. That's not saying Ethereum or whatever you guys are in is over. That's just saying that it's got to be a strong correction, 70, 80%, and it's going to hold for years like it did before. That's it, right? And then 4 years from now, the next halfing comes, it's going to go right back up, and that's going to begin the other 18-month cycle. But I'm just saying is that what's going to happen to a lot of people, and I'm going to tell you, it is Dogecoin. I'm saying it right. Y'all are saying it wrong because you jumped in at the end. I want you to research the history of Dogecoin. Go on Wikipedia, go wherever, and research it, and you'll realize that that's how they originally said it. Now, I've been in this for 10 years. This is not new to me, right? And you guys can research me online. I've been in interviews about crypto 5, 6 years ago. I was one of the first companies in Florida to accept crypto when I had my development company back in 2013. Now, some of these people come popping up now saying I knew and all this stuff. I've been in this for a long time. I've been on it in the technical level, the development level. This is not just something that I'm talking, you know, that's why I was able to tell you guys what was coming, right? But back to what I was saying is that all of it's going to retreat because it's all connected to Bitcoin. So, I mean, that's not saying that I don't believe in it. See, a lot of people confuse when you say something's going to retreat, people confuse that with you don't like it or you're against it. No, that's not what it is, right? It's just based on logic and reason, right? I love crypto. My everything, you know, I'm saying a lot of my life is based on the progress and of crypto, right? So I almost, you know, I'm in this for the long run, but you have to understand what's coming, right? And when after we get through this cycle, 18-month cycle, maybe 19, it ain't gonna be exactly. It's a little bit less, a little bit more. There's gonna be a harder correction. Now, what's gonna happen? And we talked about this on a smaller level. A lot of these people that are way up in crypto, Ethereum, Bitcoin, Dogecoin, or whatever. Let's say Dogecoin, so it placates some people. People will be happy I said it. But back to what I was saying is that when a lot of these people are gonna be up in their head. They're going to be imaginary up. And then it's going to retreat a little bit. You know, 30, 40%. In their heads, they're going to say, what has happened before? It's nothing new to me. I'm just going to hold it. It's going to go back up. Then it's going to say, bam, 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 bam. It's going to keep going down. And people are going to hold it and hold it, hold it. Then they're going to be what's called a bag holder. A bag holder is somebody. A bag holder is somebody who holds an asset no matter what through everything. They're never going to sell, right? They're never going to sell it, right? And the reasons for, you got to understand how the markets work. And that's why it's going to happen, right? You have to understand how the market works. Why do you think Tesla sold? And think about this. Tesla sold 10% of their Bitcoin. Tesla got in I think it was late last year. And then they sold it. Like, why would Tesla sell something that keeps going up? Why would Tesla sell some of their Bitcoin? Think about this. Now, it's almost a consensus out there that says that Bitcoin is going to at least 100,000. I strongly believe that. Right? So if that's going to happen, why would Tesla sell 10% of that Bitcoin at a profit? Somebody tell me. Well, you know why? Because the elite, the rich, the wealthy don't take risk like we will. And that's why. Like, it's actually the opposite. The poorer people are, the more risk they take with assets. The richer people are, they take their money and run. Right? Just like Tesla did. So, that's what causes the crash. Eventually, it gets to a point where the rich start taking their profits. It's all in the market cycles, right? There's a certain, you know, for those of you that are new, that's what's called market cycles at the beginning. There's, there's four steps to accumulation, markup, distribution, markdown, right? And every asset goes through these in a small time frame or a long time frame, right? So the rich people, they get out. They don't take risk like that. They take their money and run. So when this starts happening progressively, that's what it causes something to go down 70-80%. Because then it triggers stop losses. Then it triggers the other people to sell. And that's what causes it to go down, right? Because they don't take risk like that. They get their money and get out. That's why Tesla sold $250 million worth of Bitcoin, right? Because they're not going to take that risk. Even though it's a high probability that Bitcoin's going to 100, they're not going to take the risk. You know, and that's how rich people think. And that's how we have to think, right? So sometimes we as people, and I'm talking about myself too, because I mean, I'm not a billionaire, right? So I mean, we're all like a lot of, in the stock market perspective, we're all in the same group. I can't get access to these, I can get access to some, the pre-IPO stuff, but some of these stuff I can't get access to. I don't have $100 million, right? So I don't have those kind of connections. I don't have that. You know, we're all in the same boat in this. So, a lot of times people like, on our level will hold on to something too long, which we actually should take our profit and get out and then the second thing is that be comfortable with that profit, because that's a hard thing too. A lot of people aren't comfortable with the profit they take. They'll take profit, a good profit, may double. They may double and some take it out, see the stock go up or the crypto go up the next day, and they'll hate themselves for it, crying and sad. You can never be sad, right? Because we have to see the markets. I'm talking about crypto, real estate, any financial, any kind of asset market. You have to see it as a water fountain. What do I mean by that, right? So when I go up to a water fountain, I drink, I'm thirsty. I go up to it, get some water, and I walk away. Now, there could be a line of people behind me. I don't step back, watch the other people, and go crazy. Oh, my God, they're getting all the water, man. What are they doing? Oh, man, I should have got more. Why didn't I bring a bucket? Oh, man, I messed up. You don't think like that about a water fountain. And it's simple. It's because you know the water's always there. You know you can always go back and get some more. So you're not at a water fountain with buckets taking them back to your car, Because let everybody drink. Let everybody get some water. You come back and get yours when you feel you're thirsty again. Now, we have to see the market like that. We have to see money in general like that. Once you change your mindset about money, about the markets, it's easier to accept your gains, You drink some water, you got your thirst quenched, you walk away happy. You're not worried about it. You're not going home at night, can't go to sleep because I didn't get all the water out of the fountain. I could have got more. Nobody thinks like that, right? But people think like that about stocks, financial markets, asset markets. Some people have committed suicide because they sold too early. Some people have been in deep depression because they sold too early. And that's ridiculous, right? So let's move on. We're going to talk a little bit about Dogecoin first, because I know that's why a lot of you guys are here. And I would appreciate it if you guys could, you know, if you got some friends that would benefit from this information, go ahead and add them on, you know, send a message out to them and say, hey, man, send a live to them down at the bottom. And that'd be pretty cool. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Dogecoin. You know, for those of you who followed me for the last year or so, you know, I don't like it, right? I don't like where it came from. I don't like that it was started as a joke. And I think it has no use case. I think it has no reason to exist, right? But on the other hand, you got to remember, I'm looking at it as a technology perspective, right? I'm looking at it from I'm a tech person, a software engineer. I'm looking at it from that perspective. But this is a good lesson to teach me too, right? Me too, because we're all learning along this, you know, we're all learning. So it doesn't matter. It really does with assets. It really doesn't matter what the technology is, what the foundation is, where it's going, because there's one thing that drives the market, right? What drives all markets? Supply and demand. That's the main thing that drives the market price, right? It matters, but it sometimes something can go up, make a lot of people a lot of money, and it probably shouldn't have, right? Because the supply and demand is high. Now, why am I saying that? Why am I coming up with supply and demand about Dogecoin? Well, because an event's coming up, which to be honest, I'm gonna tell you something. Like, I don't like it. I'm not in Dogecoin. And it's because of fundamental technology reasons. Because, you know, I guess I'm being emotional right here. And you shouldn't actually do this, but I'm being emotional in this trade because I kind of know something going up and I'm still not going to invest in it. I guess that's a negative emotion that's driving me. But so what's going to happen, I think, is that this Saturday, Elon Musk is going on Saturday Night Live and he's supposed to pump Dogecoin on there. Right. So if we go back to what we talked about, it's supply and demand. Right. It don't matter what it's worth. If he gets on there and he drives that demand in that show, the price is going to explode. And he's already basically said he's going to do it. So, I mean, I'm not invested in it, but I'm telling you guys, at least take a look at that play, right? And you got to remember, when something like that happens, you got to remember it's the same thing as an option, right? And you remember this, is that when we go back to stock, I mean, any asset, right? We go back to stocks. A lot of you guys learn in the stock classes, right? Is that when an event's on the horizon, what happens to an asset's price, right? So, on the run up to that event, the asset will go up, right? Because people don't know what to expect. They don't know how high it's going to go. People are bonded in a frenzy. But once that event happens, it starts tanking down afterwards. So a lot of the volume and stuff in Bitcoin, in Dogecoin right now, is because of this Saturday Night Live thing. So you may see a run up into Saturday Night Live, but I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there's a high risk of after that happens, Sunday or Monday, it's going to be a drop, right? And I'm just saying, that may be a good play, right? For those of you that just want to make some quick money. And I'm not saying what to do. I can't tell you what to buy and sell, right? But I'm saying is that may be a good play there. I'm not doing it because it's not because I don't think it's the right play, because I would do it if it wasn't for that. How I feel about the Dogecoin, I would do this play. But what could happen is that we got a run up to this event that's coming. That's what everybody's talking about. So whenever there's a few days out, that's when the asset's going to go up until it hits that event. Then normally afterwards, people start pulling out. Right. So that may be a good play, right, for some short term gains. But you have to be careful. You have to watch for that drop afterwards. Right. Like I said, if I didn't have these, I guess you call them professional reservations about Dogecoin, I would do it, right? So before we continue with Amazon Neo, the badges are at the bottom. I'd appreciate if you guys bought one. We also got a class on Friday Bitcoin. For beginners, we're going to talk about the history of Doge. I call it Dogecoin, so y'all understand. Doge, Dogecoin, Ethereum, Bitcoin, XRP. So we're going to talk about how to keep your crypto safe, because a lot of you guys out there are losing your crypto to scammers. And there's a certain science to keeping your crypto safe. There's another way that you can earn money, earn interest on your crypto, and we're going to teach you about that. But there's crypto, what you guys are doing, there's a lot of different things you can do to make money with crypto that goes, once you have it, you can actually make interest on it, right? And then we're going to talk about that in that class on Friday. And if you want to join that class, click the link in my bio. It's still $25 until tomorrow to be $35. And we'll talk about Ethereum Classic too. I'll throw that in the class too, because I'll tell some stories back when before there was an Ethereum Classic, right? And I'll tell you how Ethereum Classic came to be. And I think we've talked about that in a live before, but but I appreciate all you guys buying badges, abstract, where there's a will, there's a way. I appreciate you guys a lot. Ron Dash, thank you. So back to what I was saying, the second point is that Amazon split is coming up. Now, if you guys follow me for over a year, I said it will probably happen by now, right? And people say, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. It's not going to happen or whatever. And the reason why I said it is because, and this is another good lesson. Now, I like to come up with these plays and put a lesson in there, right? It's a good lesson to understand who controls a company, right? And a lot of people think that the CEO is the highest. That's why it's weird to me when a lot of people run around calling themselves the CEO. I'm the CEO. I'm the CEO. I'm the CEO. And you know, they may have a one-person company or whatever. And actually, it's illegal to call yourself a CEO unless you got a registered company. If you don't have a LLC or a corporation and you go around calling yourself a CEO, that's actually fraud. Because a CEO is a state registered title. It's like calling myself a doctor. It's not hard to do. You just fill out the paperwork, but you really shouldn't be calling yourself a CEO unless you got a registered LLC or a corporation. Like, people do it all the time. I'm a CEO, especially the dudes that have those record labels, or you know, rappers or whatever that say the CEO of their company. Now, but besides all that, you know, a CEO is a chief executive officer. So he's the chief. He executes decisions. So you know, right? But you have to say who controls. That's why I understand why people say CEO. Owner is higher than a CEO. The owner is the highest you can get in a company. Who owns the company? Right? CEO is below the owner. And the owner can be multiple people. Like in a publicly traded company, the stockholders own the company. So you got the owner and the CEO is below. So the CEO has to take orders from the owners. Whether it's one person, whether it's a million people, he has to take orders, right? Whoever owns that company controls the CEO. He can fire him, they can scream at him, they can do whatever. The CEO is not the highest in a company. He reports to the board, who reports to the owners. He has to report just like anybody else. Owner don't have to report to nobody. It's his company. He can go. You don't have to do nothing. But back to what I was saying is that when we got a public company like Amazon with all these shareholders and a lot of big shareholders, they can pressure the CEO. They can pressure the company to do stuff, right? So if I'm a Amazon shareholder, right? I saw what happened with Apple when they split. I saw what happened with Tesla when they split. I'm a little angry here. All you have to do, all Amazon has to do is split their stock, and I'm going to make 30, 40, 50, maybe 60% return. And they won't do it because of some ideological reason, right? Wouldn't you get mad? That's what's happening is people are mad, pressuring them. Jeff Bezos said he would never do it. But the stockholders have been pressuring Amazon for last year. I said this would happen. They're pressuring them. So eventually, in the next few months, and I said by the end of this year, I said that last year, actually, Amazon's going to have to split their stock. First of all, it's getting too expensive, right? So what does a stock split do for a company? Like, why does stock split? And they also got something called a reverse split, which is bad. But why would a stock split? Well, it's simple. It's to create, we talked about supply and demand at the beginning, but it's the same thing, right? Is that when a stock is $3,400, like I think Amazon's around $3,400, it puts a lot of people off because, Bezos may have stepped down because of his stock split because he didn't want to do it. So maybe that's what happened. I don't know. Back to what I was saying is that when a stock split happens, first of all, Amazon's $3,400 right now, right? So a lot of people look at that as unaffordable. They can't buy it. It's too expensive. Right, they can't even get in it if they want to. right? And people see those numbers and they say, well, I'm going to get a cheaper stock. So what does that do? It causes the demand to go down, right? So now people aren't buying as much. The liquidity is down, right? Because you got to remember what liquidity is. It's the ability to change an asset to cash, right? Quickly, right? So something that's not liquid would be like a basketball card. Like I can't change that to cash. I got to go to a store, get an auction and all this stuff. It's hard to change that to cash. But something that's liquid would be like crypto, right? I just press a button and it's liquid. I got, or stocks, you know, it comes out. But there's different levels of liquidity, right? So if a stock is 30, like I said, let's just say 3,300, like Amazon, right? That means it's, first of all, if there's not people out there willing to buy it, it's also harder to sell, right? If there's a lot of people that got interest in it because the price is too high, it's hard to sell it also, or hard to sell big orders. So you have to take a loss to sell it. So it's causing the liquidity of this stock to drop. The higher a stock goes in price, the harder it is to buy and sell it, right? So by splitting the stock, what you're doing is you're keeping the same value of the company, but you're just making more stocks. For example, if I had a company worth $100,000 and I had 10 shares, right? So everybody, I had five shares, my friend had five shares. I'm like, man, I'm going to split these shares, man, because they're too expensive, right? They're all, you know, $10,000 each. The company's $100,000. We both got five shares. We go to equal ownership in the company. So we're going to do a split. So what we do is we take our stocks and say, instead of having five each, we're going to have 10 each. So we're going to have 20 shares total. But the value of the company stays the same, right? The value of the company stays the same. Let me move this dude up. So the value of the company stays the same, even though there's more shares out there. But what happened is now, remember at first our individual shares were 10,000, but now they're 5,000 because we got twice as many. So now it's easier for me to sell my shares to people because more people got $5,000. You see what I'm saying? So the same thing happens with Amazon is that when they're trying to do a 10 for one. So if they do a 10 for one, that means that the shares will be $300. Now there's a lot more people willing to buy it, even though the price is the same. But what does that do to the price? It drives the demand. So when the demand goes up, the price goes up, right? So all those people that had the shares, now they got more shares at a higher price, almost overnight, right? And that's what a stock split, that's what they hope a stock split does for a company, right? Some companies will do several stock splits over years, right? So the last thing I want to talk about, before we answer some questions from badge holders, like I said, if you want to show some appreciation, you want priority access to questions, click the link at the down at the bottom and buy a badge, right? That helps me, really motivate me to do these types of things, and I appreciate that, right? So back to what I was saying. It's people out there, man. I'm not worried about them. So back to what I was saying is NEO, right? We talked about NEO back in the day. We all made some money on NEO. It got up to $66 last year, right? Like I said, I'll answer some questions later on about crypto. But NEO, right? So NEO hit $66 and it came back down. But you got to remember, Tesla's actually doing pretty well overall right now. So sometimes stocks do what's called get oversold. And I think that I want to talk about Peloton too, because that may be an opportunity there too. But sometimes like a stock like NEO will get oversold. That means too many people sold it, right? So that means that the price will bottom out and it will recover, right? So I believe that NEO's at close to a bottom right now, right? And you could tell that by certain metrics, you can do a technical analysis on the chart. And there's certain metrics that will tell you, you know, how close something is to a bottom. That means that's what the general consensus is. They think that's the lowest this stock could go, right? So we're right there. We're close to there now. It's at $37. The highest it's been in a year was 66. So I'm not saying it's going to be a quick turnaround like some of the stocks that we've talked about. I'm not saying that you're going to make your money back by Monday like some of the stocks you talked about. But there may be something, and I can't tell you what to buy and sell, but I'll tell you what I'm doing. It may be something that I'll look into putting in my long-term portfolio. Now, I sold some, but I still got some from back, you know, when I was buying it when it was below 30. It was like we started first talking about NEO when it was like, what, $8, $10? But it's still higher than what we paid for it. That's why it's important to get into stocks early, or at the right time. But it may be some opportunity there. And like I said, you don't have to rush with this one because we got time. This is a multi-month play, right? So you don't have to rush, right? So NEO, like I said, maybe it's something I'm going to add to my long-term portfolio. NEO, I mean, they went through some problems over the last year with supply chain issues. And that's what happens to a lot of growing companies. It actually happened to Peloton too, is that they have trouble. They can sell their products, but they have trouble delivering them, right? And that's exactly what happened to Peloton and what's caused them not have problems over Christmas. But NEO is one of the big, you got to remember, it's still a lot of good points there. They're electric vehicle producer in China, right? And that almost can't fail because the state or the government will almost help them sell it. Over the long term, NEO probably won't fail. It'll probably be a 10-time stock, right? But I'm not saying tomorrow. I'm not saying next month. But over time, it'll probably be a 10-time stock from where it's at today. It's at $30 now. It'll probably be at $300-$400 in the next few years, more than likely, right? So I'm going to tell a quick story, then we're going to get into some questions here. And I want to tell you guys, we always talk about in the Chestnut Checkers group, we talk about that Chestnut Checkers mentality, is that when you play, that's why we talk about chess and checkers, right? Checkers is almost, it's a strategic game, but you only think about two or three moves ahead, right? And that's it. First off, before we get into this story, let's talk about that Peloton a little bit. Some of you guys are asking about that. So whenever something like this happens, and it's bad that baby died, man. And, you know, and I feel so bad for the parents, you know, because imagine your child dying like that, man. And, you know, I hope Peloton does, pay for what happened, a settlement or maybe through court system or whatever, because that's horrible, man. Somebody loses a child because of the incompetence or whatever of a company, right? Or maybe they didn't have the right safety features or whatever. But I don't know how the child died. I just know that the child died. But but back to what I was saying is that whenever something like this happened, and we talked about it, it was a situation in which this happened before, and I will go back to it, is that whenever something happens with a child, and it's all over the news, and it's hard, you know, to understand, a stock will get oversold. People panic. And they'll sell. The worse the story sounds, the more people will sell the stock, right? And the stock will normally recover shortly after, right? So I don't know where Peloton ended up today. Where did Peloton end up today? But it's probably oversold. That means that it's going to recover here in the next few days, because whenever something like this happens, people go crazy and they sell everything they got. They run down and whatever. So it's at $82, right? It was down 14% today. Now, it may continue to go down next for the rest of the week, but sometime next week, maybe end of this week, there's going to be a recovery, right? Because nothing goes down that hard. It may go down a little bit more. Like, I don't know where the exact bottom's at, but it's going to recover back eventually, right? And that's what happens whenever there's an event that or something out there that's this horrifying, that things are over. So we can go back to back when Wayfair. Was that Wayfair? I don't remember what was that story that happened last year? It was a website. Was it Wayfair that they said that they were trafficking kids on it? See, that's what's crazy about it. Everybody was deep on that story. Now everybody forgot about it, including me. What was that story? It was not Wayfair. It was it Wayfair? Wayfair. Yeah, it was Wayfair. So, there was another horrifying story, right? Horrifying. Like, oh my God, Wayfair is trafficking kids through their website. You know, come on, that doesn't make sense. But people believed it at the time. Now it sounds crazy. But I remember during that time, people believed it, right? So we woke up that morning, it was down 15%. because people would wake up and oh my God, and they would sell, driving the price down. Right then, shortly after it recovered, I made a bunch of money because I bought options as they dropped, call options. And when it came back, I made a bunch of money. Right? And that's probably what we're going to see here in Peloton, is that it's going to drop, but it's going to recover because it's going to be oversold because the story is so horrifying. People are selling, getting rid of it. Right? But now that Wayfair story sounds crazy, but at the time, people were coming at me for that. Some people unfollowed me because I said it didn't make sense. You know, it just didn't make, you know, a company that big, a $1 billion company, is just not going to make a little extra money. That's like saying that Southwest Airlines makes a little extra money by shipping Coke on the planes. Like, why would they do that? They make billions in the plane tickets. Now, why would they even risk anything by shipping coke? It doesn't even make sense, right? But so why would Wayfair, knowingly, all the money they make through the website, it's a publicly traded company, and they're going to make a little extra by trafficking kids. It just doesn't make sense, man. It's not rational. Nobody's going to, and all the people that's involved don't say they are quiet. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, right? It didn't make sense at the time. It don't make sense now, right? It's like saying that it doesn't make, it just, I mean, I could be wrong on that, but it just doesn't make rational sense. You couldn't make, you know, why would you risk your entire $1 billion business on a very small amount down there? You know, a small profit you make from, if it's horrible to traffic kids, right? It's horrible, but it just doesn't make rational. It's like I said, Southwest Airlines, shipping coke in their luggage compartments. Because, you know, they can make another 5%. If they get caught, they're going to lose everything. It's not even worth it. So back to what we were saying is I want to tell an Easter egg story about looking into the future. Then we're going to end with my mom's, badge holders. Like I said, if you want to buy a badge down at the bottom, and I appreciate that. Like I said, we got the Bitcoin class coming up on Friday. We got the makeup options class on Thursday, which I'm going to send out an email today, which is tomorrow. Like I said, we do have that Bitcoin class on Friday. The link's in the bio if you're interested. It's $25 now. It's going to be $35 in the morning. So back to what I was saying. But, I mean, you remember the dudes, that dude. What's that dude that made the DeLorean? He was supposed to be in the coke. So, I mean, everything's possible. You know, he actually got arrested for it. The dude that makes, you know, the car in Back to the Future, the DeLorean. Well, that dude, they caught that company selling coke to pay for the development of the car. Now, I think he ended up getting away with it by some technicality, but I guess anything's possible. So back to what I was saying is I want to tell a quick story that I'm going to answer in with some questions, right? Is that we talk about the Chestnut Checkers about looking forward, being living in the future, seeing what's coming and making your money that way. Because the average person lives in the present, right? So they chase stocks. They chase them. They chase crypto. So something's already up. They jump on it, right? That's the worst time to be on it because now your risk is extraordinarily high. So we try to see things as they come in the future. We saw it with Riot. We saw it with Bitcoin. We saw it with travel stocks. We saw it with a lot of things. We saw things as they were coming. And I try to teach you guys to be able to see, be able to change your mind so you can see like that, right? So you put yourself 6 months in the future and try to decide what's the world going to be like then. Then you work backwards from there to try to figure out some stock trading ideas. So back to what I was saying is that, all this type of thing, it reminds a story. Yeah, remember, I grew up in poverty. You know, we didn't have a lot of money. My father left when I was three, and I haven't seen him since. So, I mean, he's my, like, Facebook friend. That's kind of weird, but I still haven't seen him. I don't really have any desire to see him either. It's not anger or nothing. That's not any desire. But back to what I was saying is my mom used to take us to Easter egg hunts, right? And it was an important lesson. It taught me about being able to see into the future. And it's a good reason for that because everybody lives in the present. So if you're staying in the present, you're fighting with everybody else for money. You know, you're trying to get, everybody's fighting for it. But if I'm able to see into the future, ain't nobody over there yet. You see what I'm saying? So I can make all my trades, all my ideas on the future. Ain't nobody there yet. So I'm everything's clear. It's emerging technologies, all of this stuff. That's where it's easier out there. Right? And I'm going to tell you a story that's kind of it makes me think about this, right? Is that when mom took us to an Easter egg hunt, right? So we go to the Easter egg hunt and it was at the church, right? So all the Easter eggs are down, you know, it's this big field. So Easter eggs are way down in the field and it's a line. And I've told this story before for some of you guys that followed me for a while, right? So, and it was a contest, right? Whoever got the most Easter eggs got like $100 gift card or something, right? And the parents were able to help. They can help the kids. So when they said 3, 2, 1, remember all the kids are lined up at this line, the entire field is filled up with Easter eggs, right? So they said 3, 2, 1, boom, right? So every other kid stops, drops right then, starts picking up the eggs right now. My mom takes me and my brother, picks up my little brother, kicks me by the hand, takes me all the way down to the end of the field. And we work backwards from there. See what I'm saying? We end up winning the $100. We end up having the most eggs, right? Because we didn't have competition over there. You see what I'm saying? There was nobody over there with us. Now, all the people living over here, they were fighting each other for eggs. They couldn't, you know, trying to get them and other kids pushing them out the way. But we were, like we said, into the future. It was nobody over there, right? That's why we were able to get all the eggs. And that's how you have to train yourself to think in all things, whether it's real estate, whether it's crypto, whether it's stocks. You have to be over, you have to be far ahead of everybody else, where it's no competition. If I'm sitting there fighting with everybody about for present day stuff, for stuff in the present, I got all this competition. If I'm jumping on trends too late, I got all this competition, right? So you have to be able to think ahead, see what's coming. And it's not hard to do that. All it takes is education, learning, and keeping your ears and eyes open. It's not hard. You just have to train your mind to be able to see into the future. Right? You have to train your mind to dismiss what's happening now because it's already happened. It's happening now, and try to see what's coming, like we deal with crypto. When we first talked about Bitcoin, I had like 20 people on my lives, right? And some of you guys were loyal, and I appreciate you guys for that, right? For being with me all this time. But we talked about Bitcoin was at 3,000 during the beginning of the pandemic. When we were able to see what was coming, right? It was several reasons why we knew it was coming. Because Bitcoin was oversold. Because a big event happened, it was oversold, right? And nothing happening was coming up a few months after that. Now, it was almost guaranteed that Bitcoin was going to go up, right? So a lot of people who follow me back then, and you guys that did that can drop some money bags right now. A lot of people made ridiculous amounts of money and changed their entire life because of that, right? Because they were able, I was able to lead them, but they still took the initiative themselves. So it's still their win. We win together, but it's still their win. Right? Because listening to this, a lot of people you can listen to, but when you take the initiative yourself, that's when you make that, you take that initiative yourself. You've earned that money. You've won that money, right? You earned it, you know, but it's the ability to be able to see what's coming. Because even with crypto right now, a lot of people are living in the present, chasing certain, they hear about Dogecoin from their friend jumping on it. That's not saying they won't make no money. But you're not going to make as much and your risk is higher, right? And you got to be mindful of that. So, we got about, 15 minutes left. Let's say about 10 minutes. So I'm going to let you guys answer some questions. Badge holders will get the priority. So if you guys have any questions, let's see if we got some in here. Okay. Do you still think Ethereum will be 8K by the end of the year? Yeah, I still believe it will be. And I put up a post, I believe yesterday, that said that it could be at 5,000 in 2 weeks. Now, I don't know about that. It could not. I don't know. But I'm saying by the end of the year, it's going to be 8,000. But what could stop it from not getting to 8,000? It could be if an overall crypto crash for some other reason. Like, we can't control that. But if things progress like they're supposed to, if nothing else happens outside the market, it should get to 8,000 by the end of the year. Second question, do you think Casper shares would go up? I still believe in it. If you guys remember what we talked about on Strategy Sunday, we said, it was like 2 weeks ago, we said that it was a 3 month stock. I said by in 2 months, it would double, right? So it's not going to, every day is going to be different, right? It go up 30% one day, it retreats a little bit. So you can't expect it to constantly go up every day. So if you can invest in one stock of crypto right now, what would it be? I don't know, man. I'd have to think about that one. Is Bitcoin still an indicator for Marin Riot? No, not fully. And that's because they already had their earnings call. And we kind of talked about that a few times, right? Is that once that they have an earnings call, that correlation won't be there anymore. Will you do speaking engagements this year? I'm open to that, but normally I speak at Bitcoin and crypto conferences, and they haven't started those back up yet. So we'll see. And if you guys have anywhere else, you want me to speak at, or you see an event, just go ahead and suggest. Hey, man, like if you see people put events on Instagram all the time. So all you have to do is write a comment under the post or whatever. Say, hey, man, invite Tall Kai Tycoon. I'll be willing to show up anywhere. I love speaking. I love teaching anyway. So you guys can help me with that. Because like I said, my history has been kind of in the crypto world, right? So I haven't really reached out past that. And I'd be willing to do it, but like I said, all my contacts, all my history is in the crypto world. So, if you guys want to help me out, then I appreciate that. IOTA getting to $3 anytime soon. Probably by the end of the year. Let me see if we got anybody with a badge holder. So if you have a badge, put the questions in the chat. And as I see them go up, I'll try to answer. What are your thoughts on BTT? What is BTT? Is that a crypto or a stock? Simply Shelly, appreciate the badge. I am Lizzie. I appreciate the badge. Do you think my hodl will reach $2? It's already $2 right now. I think it's like at $190, right? I mean, I think if you think $3, yeah, I think it's gonna be at $4 or $5 for the end of the year. That, like I said, barring an overall crypto crash, but otherwise, yeah. So I think it's gonna go $3-$4. It's gonna be at $5 by the end of the year, maybe more, probably more. What do you think about the OTC market? What he's talking about is what's called the over-the-counter market. So the over-the-counter market is commonly known as the penny stock market, right? So with the penny stock market, let me see if I got, I'll try to get these questions later. With the penny stocks are stocks that are under a dollar or close to a dollar, right? So whenever, and they don't, you know, the New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ won't let stocks that cheap on their exchanges or their, you know, they won't allow it. So whenever a stock gets to that price, they got to be dumped off to another exchange. And that's called the OTC. It's called over-the-counter or penny stocks, right? So the reason I won't deal with penny stocks is because I got, you know, the experience and stuff I have in this. Like, I go to stock conferences also a lot. So I've heard conversations. I've been involved in conversations. That market is heavily manipulated. Heavily manipulated, heavily dominated by information, and heavily controlled by big players. And I know that that's true. I know that they pump stocks. I know that they promote those stocks. And it's easy to do because they're less volume, right? So if I got a penny stock, there's a million shares out, and each share is like 50 cents. That means I can change the whole market with $10,000. I can just buy a bunch and drive the stock up 30%. You see what I'm saying? Is that it's easier to manipulate those stocks with less money. Now, if I'm going to do that in Amazon, I need billions and billions and billions of dollars to manipulate that price. But with a penny stock, you can manipulate with a lot. You can manipulate a penny stock, some of them with $30,000, $40,000. Just buy it all at market. The price goes up 40%. You know, and it's easy to do that. Some of you guys can do it right now with probably $1,000. You can cause a stock to go up right in your face, an OTC stock, because there's less volume and they're cheaper. So somebody said Peloton will recover. It probably will. Let's see if we got any questions here from badge owners. Theta, theta, theta. Okay, so what are your thoughts on BNTX? Now, BNTX, BioNTech, dropped around 3:30 today. And now what the rumor is, and I'm not sure it was confirmed, is that a whale sold all of their vaccine stocks. So that caused, like I said, if somebody sells that much stocks that quickly, it causes deep drops in the stock. Now, I still think it's going to recover probably in the morning. It's probably recovering in the after hours. Let me see. So, I mean, usually those kind of drops, unless there's some news or something that we don't know about that dude knew, he had inside knowledge to, usually something like that recovers quickly, right? So we'll have to watch it and see what's going on. Like, I don't know what any other news is causing that. Maybe I just don't know something, right? Let's see, we got a question. Where do you see Peloton? We've already talked about that. Tilray thoughts. Where is Tilray right now? Yeah, Tilray was another one of those 3 to 4 month plays we were talking about, right? So I didn't expect it to just explode right the next day. It's a 3 month play, right? So we just have to keep watching it. Like, all the stuff I say is not going to be instant. You know, some of the stuff is, some of it's not. SafeMoon, I still have to research that. About Strategy Sunday, I'll have SafeMoon researched. Ethereum Classic, we'll talk about that in the class on Friday. If you guys want to click the classes, the link in my bio, you can sign up for it. We'll talk about Ethereum Classic and how it came to be and what it is, right? And we'll also add in Dogecoin, Dogecoin, right? So with that being said, Cardano, that's another one I got to research. So we'll talk about those on, I know a little bit about them, but not enough to make a decision on it. So that's something else we'll talk about on this Sunday coming up. So you mean you don't speak magic? So, all right, well, there's no more questions. Like I said, I hope you guys have a great night. Let me see if we got any more in here. We probably have some down at the bottom. Let me see. What are good ways besides courses to build your knowledge? Well, being around like-minded people helps a lot. And that's what you got to, like that. And now I'm going to tell this story, right? Is that how I learned so much about stocks, and some of you guys have heard this before, is that when I was younger, when I first got out of college, I played basketball in Puerto Rico for a couple of years. Then I moved back to Tennessee and I worked for about a year. And then I moved to Florida, right? So when I moved to Florida, I was writing software for an insurance company, right? So the first day they put me in my cubicle. So I was about 25, 26. So the dude in front of me is like some 60-something-year-old white dude, right? So at that point, I knew a little bit about stocks because, you know, I used to play this game on a Nintendo when I was a kid and stuff. I knew a little bit, but I didn't know the ins and outs and the nuances. So I'm sitting, I'm sitting there and I hear this, and it's another old white dude that comes up to this other dude and they're talking all day, going back and forth from each other's cubicle. I'm like, what are these dudes doing? $10,000, $5,000, all this money. I'm like, so I went up to him and said, hey man, what are y'all doing? Stocks? He said, yeah, man, we're doing stocks. Remember back then, man, it was harder to trade stocks. It ain't like it was today because you had to pay a $15 fee to get into a trade and a $15 fee to get out of it. You know, so it wasn't, and you had to have certain accounts and stuff. It wasn't as easy as it was today. It wasn't like Robinhood that had no fees. So you know, it wasn't the same. So he was like, yeah, man, stocks, man. So what I did is I've always been like this. I've always hung around older people, you know, because that's how I got a lot of my information, is that I start going to lunch with these dudes. Every time they went to lunch, I went with them because I knew they would be talking about stocks and how to make money. They both had good money. They both, you know, had long careers as software engineers. They both had cabins and all this stuff and nice cars outside. So I was like, man, I'm going to just start hanging out with these dudes. So every day for lunch for a year, I just went with them, right? And a lot of this stuff just soaked into my head. So it was funny because a 25-year-old dark-skinned, is hanging around with these two old white dudes with white hair. And I did it. And I didn't care. Because I knew that's where the knowledge was. Right. And I just hung out with them for a year and they would teach me stuff and I'd ask questions and they were happy to teach me. Right. And that's how I learned. That's how I got my real start in stocks. And then later on, I learned more, developed for it and got a little farther. But with that, that's how I got way past anybody would be at 25 in those days, because there was no information out there. Right. There was no information out there. But that's where I learned, right? And that's what you got to do sometimes. And like I remember, these dudes were in their 60s. I was 25. You're talking about a 35-year difference in age, right? And they were talking about different stuff. You know, there's no other way we would ever actually hook up like that and be friends. But the job put us in proximity. So there is where I learned a lot about, you know, assets and stuff like that. Because once somebody, they get that old, you got to remember, and I'm not trying to be, you know, racial here. But the average white man or white family has a 7 times higher net worth than a Hispanic or black family. Now, how is that possible? Well, we know about racism. We know about these things. We know about prejudice. We know about all that. But they have generations of knowledge sometimes. And so, you know, and that's where I learned it from, right? Because they kept the information from us for all our life, for generations, right? They've kept it from us. They've hid it from us, especially before the internet. They just didn't tell us. But these dudes, their dads taught them, their granddads taught their dads. So they had that information. And I was willing to learn it from them. Right? And they were happy to give it to me. You know, like, you gotta remember, the average person loves to teach. They love to tell you what they know. And if you're willing to go, you know, to learn from them, most people will tell you. But most people don't want to put in that work. Most people don't want to put in that kind of effort. They just want it, it's given to them, right? So basically, I had to go, well, actually, I enjoyed it. They were nice dudes, man. They were actually nice dudes, and we had a lot of fun. But most people are like, nah, I'm going to hang out with my boys, man. Nah, I don't want to hang out with them. They talk about lame stuff. But, I by hanging out with them, I learned a lot quickly that I never would have learned otherwise. If I'd have kept hanging out with the dudes I played basketball with, I may know who's going to win the NBA Finals or who the new hot players are, but I wouldn't have learned the stuff that would change my life, right? So with that being said, I hope you guys have a great night. Thanks for joining. And have a great rest of the day. I appreciate everybody that bought a badge. Remember that class is on Friday, right? So click the link in my bio, sign up for that class. And like I said, I hope you guys have a great night. Thanks for joining.